Hello there, and welcome to the Ready for the Right Guy Global Telus Summit. I want to thank you so much for being here and to congratulate you for saying yes to the possibility of having the relationship of your dreams. I'm your host, Michelle Marchant Johnson, with Love Life Coaching, and I'm known by many as your guide to the right guy because I want you to be with a guy who is right for you and who makes your heart sing. After a long and winding journey to love, I found my own Mr. Right and became an ecstatic first-time bride, marrying the man of my dreams at age 43. And now I'm so blessed and honored to have helped many single women throughout the world meet and attract their own Mr. Right and find the love they've always dreamed of. I'm so excited that you've chosen to participate in this virtual gathering, which is designed to give you renewed hope, inspiration, tools, and resources to help support you on your journey to love as we begin 2015. And I'm thrilled to tell you I've gathered some of the world's top relationship experts to give you some of their best wisdom, advice, and guidance. I'm very excited to introduce you to our guest today and invite you to give yourself the gift of being fully present and freeing yourself from all distractions. I know you'll enjoy the interview, and you may even want to take a few notes. So it's my privilege and pleasure to introduce to you today our wonderful guest, Sandy Weiner. Welcome, Sandy.
Hi, Michelle.
So happy to have you.
Happy to be here.
Thank you. So just a little bit about Sandy before we get started. Sandy Weiner, founder of Last First Date, is devoted to helping women over 40 achieve healthy, sexy, off-the-charts love in the second half of life. Oh, I love that, healthy, sexy, mm-hmm. off-the-charts love. Mm-hmm. She is an internationally known TEDx speaker, dating coach, blogger, and workshop leader. She specializes in helping women fall madly in love with themselves and show up as the high-value woman they are in every area of their lives. When a woman knows her worth, she attracts her most aligned partner. Sandy writes for many national publications and is the weekly dating expert at Better After 50 and the host of Last First Date Radio, an acclaimed radio show about attracting and sustaining healthy relationships in midlife. Don't you want to go on your last first date? I think most single women would love that, Sandy. So we want to introduce to you Sandy's title of her presentation today, what she's going to be sharing with us. And I just love this title and this topic, and I think it's just going to be so juicy. So listen up, and she's going to be sharing with us how to talk so men will listen. So before we jump into that juicy content, Sandy, I wonder if you can just tell me and our listeners a little bit about why you became a dating coach and work in this field.
So thank you for that lovely introduction. And I love your story, your success story, which is so important for women to hear that love is possible at any age. And you're living proof, and what better way to really give women hope? So that's what I'm about too. It's all about confidence and hope. And I was married for 23 years. I'm a child of divorce, and never thought that I'd get divorced. I tried to divorce-proof my life. In fact, I chose a husband more with my head than my heart. After having my heart broken for the last time before my marriage, I just said, this is it. I'm never going to get married if I just keep following my heart, so just follow my head and choose a man who I think is going to be a good husband, a good father, and we had similar values. And, yeah, there were some red flags, but I thought they would kind of go away over time, and that's not what happened.
Sandy, excuse me for interrupting. When you say follow your head, are you talking about – he looks great on paper, he just makes sense, it's just the kind of man that you could check off the boxes for? Is that what you're kind of talking about?
Yeah, it's a combination of that and when I would go in with like great attraction and a lot of chemistry, I would lose myself. I would become very disempowered. I would often put men on a pedestal, and I had just had my heart broken a couple months before I met my husband by a man who I thought was perfect for me, and he never escalated the relationship into anything but a really beautiful friendship. And when I reached out to him to hug him after he massaged me, invited me over for dinner, this whole thing, I mean, this was, every sign was pointing to a relationship, and he like recoiled, and I thought, man, he finds me repulsive. It was devastating to me. And of course, I didn't have the communication skills I have today to talk about it. Instead, I just kind of slunk off into the distance and decided that I'm going to keep myself safe. So safety to me was, you know, marrying somebody who looks good on paper, who seems to love me more, who, you know, seems to be a man with good values, who wants to raise children in the same way I do. And I thought I was getting old at 28, believe it or not, that I was running out of time and I was running out of men. And I really dated from scarcity instead of abundance, which is something that I have completely transformed in my 50s, and it's what I help women with today. So to backtrack, how I got to today was, so I married this guy, and you know, there were too many things that did not align, and you really do have to balance your heart and your head. I had 4 children, stayed married for a very long time, and until finally I realized I was giving up too much. I had really lost myself in my marriage, and I decided to become a life coach as I was divorcing, because that was a part of me that was unrealized. I always loved working with people, helping people. I had a lot of common sense, and I wanted to make it certified, to, you know, put a certification on it so I could actually work with people. And I loved it, and I wasn't a dating coach at first. I was just helping women in midlife who wanted to have more added value, who wanted to communicate better, who wanted to maybe find a new career in midlife. I was just sort of a generalist. And my friends were dating before I started dating, and I saw how poorly they were going about doing it. And they were posting profiles that were vague, didn't really tell much about themselves, and wondering why they had such bad results with the men they were attracting. And I realized I had a knack for it. For helping women. I started writing their profiles, and a friend of mine called me the man whisperer, because I could figure out what men were saying, what they were meaning, because she would misinterpret all the time. And then I said, you know, this is something I'm gifted in, and I really need to go into this field. So I started studying with some of the top people in the relationship field, and I also became an expert in communication, because I think communication...
Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so it actually was one of the bonuses of my divorce that got me into the communication field. When we were divorcing, one of the biggest issues we had was terrible communication, and I've since read the work of John Gottman, who, I don't know if you're familiar with John Gottman. Do you know his work?
I'm familiar with it a little bit. I haven't studied it in depth.
So John Gottman, he did one of the first empirical studies on relationships. He did a 20-year study following couples, and he could tell within about 5 or 10 minutes of an argument whether a couple was going to stay together or get divorced. And there are 4 signs that show up in couples who argue poorly. He calls them the 4 horsemen of the apocalypse. And they are contempt, defensiveness, criticism, and stonewalling. And if I look back in my marriage, we had all of those. And it feels horrible when you're trying to have a conversation with somebody when you have conflict and they walk away from you, or they criticize you and they call you too sensitive, and they don't validate you, and you're not important enough. And so my husband finally had a wake-up call when I said, I'm leaving, and he went to get himself help. And it started a process for us to be able to have a very civil divorce. And he studied with somebody named Marshall Rosenberg, who founded the Center for Nonviolent Communication. And it was a very easy-to-follow formula of taking the heat out of an argument by identifying the key elements in the argument, what was the observation without any emotion attached to it. So if say your husband didn't take out the trash and you were really angry, instead of saying you're such a jerk for not taking out the trash, you might say, I noticed that you didn't take out the trash tonight. There's no heat in that. It's just a clean observation. And then you start peeling back, like, what was I feeling when he didn't take out the trash? So was I feeling angry or hurt or sad? Or, you know, giving yourself the ability to have emotional literacy, which most of us don't have. So when you ask somebody their feelings around something, they often say, I was mad because he did this. Or not even I was mad. I would say, what were you feeling when he didn't take out the garbage? And they'd say that he was a jerk. That's not a feeling. That's an accusation.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're not familiar with expressing ourselves because we were not, most of us were not validated as children and throughout our lives in talking about our feelings and being heard and having empathy. So it's giving yourself the emotional literacy to be able to identify your feelings. And every feeling is felt because a need is not met, or a need is met. So you can also have happy feelings because a need is met. So maybe your need for support wasn't met because you love having a feeling that your husband's supporting you. And so it's all about you. And then you can make a request of the person in front of you, and you can say, so how do you feel when I say that? Or I'd love to hear your thoughts. Can you tell me how you feel? And so you're now in dialogue, and you're not throwing accusations, and you're not labeling, and you're not bringing up the past. You never take out the garbage. You know, all of those things lead to, you know, a standoff.
Yeah, that word never stands out, doesn't it?
I'm taking a drink of water.
So I think this is very interesting, Sandy, because we're not really taught. These skills are not necessarily intuitive, right?
Right. They're not intuitive. We're not taught them. And we're often afraid to be vulnerable with somebody we're in a relationship with because we might get rejected. We might get pushed away. We might get walked away from.
Right.
You know, and so women often avoid the most important conversations because of fear. I had a client who was afraid to find out if she was really in a relationship, and that she was kind of hanging in for a long time. And I kept encouraging her to have a conversation and really find out, is he dating her exclusively? What page is he on? And he dumped her in a horrible way after several years where she had closed down her profile. She placed, you know, all of her heart in this man, and he went and chose somebody who was convenient, who lived around the corner instead of a 45-minute drive away, and broke up with her over the phone. I mean, just really very demeaning. And had she had the courage to have that conversation early on, she would have not had her heart broken. She wouldn't have been living in this place of dreaming and assuming. And so it's so important to be able to access your feelings and be able to talk in the most clean way possible.
Yeah, I think this is so essential, what you're talking about here. And yet, like we're discussing, it's not necessarily the most natural, comfortable, or intuitive thing for many women. I think that oftentimes we suppress some of our needs and desires and wants. We're not necessarily taught to really express those effectively or to express what we have going on inside in a way that a man can hear it. And I know that's the theme of our conversation today. And I know in dating, and especially as women are getting to know a man in the early stages, this can be very challenging. And you just told a heartbreaking story about one of your clients who had invested years in this relationship. So that brings me to ask you, how early in a relationship should a woman speak up, for example, if her feelings are hurt or she has something she feels she needs to express?
That's a great question. And I really believe it's never too early. I think that if somebody steps on a feeling, you need to be able to speak up, but not, you have to be careful how you say it. So there's so much that women and men don't know how to express. And a friend of mine who I was out with yesterday, she's been married for 31 years, and her husband has been suppressing a lot, and so has she. And he said to her, she said something about being some kind of wife, and he said, well, I don't see you as a wife. And she goes, what do you mean by that? And he goes, well, you don't cook and clean. And she goes, what are we living in, the 1950s? She goes, I cooked and cleaned for, 25 years. The kids are out of the house. What? So he's suppressing a lot of stuff. All of a sudden he's coming up with this, well, you don't cook and clean. If he had that expectation, it would be helpful to talk about our lives are changing now. How do you want to see it? Instead of just everybody going about their own way and then he's resentful, she's resentful, you have arguments. So that's later on in a relationship, and so it's throughout a relationship. Relationships keep changing and growing as we change and grow. So we need to be able to speak up at all times to have healthy relationships. Being responsible for your emotions is key to a healthy relationship. And, preferably each partner is responsible for their own emotions. So nobody's coming to rescue you, save you, read your mind, any of that stuff. And some of the stuff is if you're getting triggered a lot by people, some of that's going to be your stuff, that you need to work out, that you shouldn't be bringing up to him. If you're super sensitive about an issue that you're sensitive about, from everybody in your life, get therapy around that issue, I would recommend. But I'll give you an example from my own life from a couple years ago. I was just getting to know somebody, and I had published an article in Psychology Today, I think, and I was pretty proud of it, and he was a psychiatrist. And so I thought he'd appreciate it, and I wanted his feedback. And instead of giving me his feedback, he made a joke. He made a joke of it. And he thought it was really funny, and it was pretty raunchy, and it was hurtful to me. And I know he was being light, but I really felt like not only did he not acknowledge me, he made it all about him, and he was kind of crass. So I dealt with it in a very dignified way. I wrote him back and I said something about how his adolescent side seemed to be coming out, and maybe that was, because it was suppressed for so many years in his marriage. But I said something like, I'm going to just chalk it up to that, and I'll continue to think of you, in a much better light. So I kind of asserted my value by saying, hey, I don't like this, but I didn't nag him. I just kind of said, I made light of it without making really light of it, and let him know that I'm a woman of value and I'm seeing him as a man of value, and I'm going to have him rise up to his better self. I don't remember the exact words, but we got together that night on a date, and we sat down to dinner, and he said, can I just talk to you about that, that email you sent? I said, sure. He goes, that was amazing the way you handled me. He goes, I was so out of line, and you didn't nag me, but you cut right to the chase, and I'm sorry, but that was amazing the way you handled that. So it's that kind of thing where you can do it in an email, you can do it on a phone call, you can even just say, ouch. Somebody hurts you, feeling, ouch, that hurt. What do you mean by that? a lot of times we don't realize we're saying things that are hurtful. But if nobody says anything, we're not going to know. So you need to be able to speak up.
Yeah, I think that word ouch can be very effective, because I do think you're right, Sandy. I think oftentimes things may come out a little unfiltered, and this can happen for both men and women, where we might say something that doesn't come across as we intend or without really thinking about what we're doing. It happens in the best of relationships, even when both people are trying to be aware of and concerned for each other's feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one thing here, and I love what you said about asking him or inviting him, more or less, to rise up to being his higher self. I mm-hmm. love that concept. I think that's really, really beautiful. And I think also what you said about you recognizing yourself and communicating that you considered yourself to be a high-value woman, and that something that was important to you, this article that you had written, this piece that you had written for Psychology Today, that it was something that mattered to you, and you positioned that in a way where you let him know that what he had said was not something that was comfortable for you. And I love how you invited him to approach things from a higher place. I think sometimes it's really valuable in our communication to also not assume the worst in terms of someone's motives. So my husband sometimes says this funny thing. He says, if I say or do something that could be interpreted in more than one way, I meant it in the way that it didn't hurt your feelings. So
I love that.
Saying, isn't that cute? So what he's saying is that while I may do silly, stupid, dumb things from time to time, my intention is not to hurt your feelings. And I actually trust and believe that. So when he does do something that seems a little thoughtless or out of sorts, I try not to immediately jump to the bad motive or seeing him in that lower light. And I think that can be really valuable in the communication. So I love this concept of inviting someone, which you did in your communication with this man, to be approaching things from a higher place. I think that's just really a beautiful concept. So thank mm-hmm. you for sharing that with us.
You're welcome, and thank you for sharing about your husband. I think that's such great communication, because it gives us permission to be human and not mind readers. We come from different backgrounds and different places, and we don't know all the little points that are going to trigger somebody. And often people say things that they don't mean to be hurtful, and we often look for the worst. You know, we're ready to jump.
Yeah.
This is so. I'm sure you see this a lot with your clients too. We're looking for the worst in people. We're looking to see how they're going to hurt us and how we can protect ourselves. And so instead of looking for the worst, look for the best, because people rise up to that. They do. They, you know, I see it with my kids too. You know, I look to them for their gifts to see what, you know, what they want to offer in the world, not what I expect of them, because it's a reflection of me, but it's a reflection of them. And so, you know, we're all individuals. We all operate differently. I've had clients put together an operating manual for how they want men to treat them, because they can't read their minds. It's like, you know, let them know. Let them know who you are. And, you know, first you figure it out. Then you can let him know. Another thing I wanted to just say also is that sometimes you don't know what it is that hurts, and so sometimes just saying I'm not sure why that was hurtful, but it didn't feel good, and I need a little bit of time to process it, which is so much better than walking away or shutting the door or screaming at the person. You know, just giving yourself
the silent treatment, right?
Yeah, the silent treatment's the worst. I mean, my husband used to walk away. We would be out taking a walk together, and he didn't like conflict, so he would just turn around and walk back home. In the middle of a conversation, I'd be like, what? it feels horrible. It feels like you don't matter. And you want to let someone know they matter, but you want to process so you don't say something you'll regret. I've done that with my kids, too. I mean, it's just right now I'm too angry to talk. I need a few minutes to process. Or, you know, give me some time. So,
yeah,
we don't have to get it all right all the time, and we certainly don't have to get it right in the moment.
Yeah, oh, that's such a valuable piece of wisdom there. I think that sometimes there could be so much less conflict and misunderstanding if we would allow ourselves and others, perhaps, to have that time and space. Because like you say, sometimes you're not even really clear about what it is that has really triggered an emotion or a feeling or caused that discomfort. And it may be, referring back to something you said earlier in the interview, it may be some of your own stuff that you still need to work through, and it's a way of you taking responsibility and getting perhaps more in touch with that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so important.
So I think that's really valuable sometimes to recognize that you don't have to duke it out in the moment, perhaps, right?
Mm-hmm.
When
yeah,
you're upset and angry and perhaps, like you said, would say something that you might regret or wouldn't be able to articulate or express what's really going on because of the anger or the emotion that might be happening in that moment.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, a safe relationship is one in which we can have permission to make mistakes and talk about it afterwards.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you don't feel safe, you don't feel that you can really express yourself. You feel that you're going to be criticized, you're going to be, you know, but all those, the four horsemen of the apocalypse, you know, those are all going to show up in an unsafe relationship. And
yes.
Then people step down. You know, they start saying, well, I'm not really hurt, so I'm not going to say anything. I'll just tell my friends, or I'll just think that I'm really, that he's right, you know, and I'm wrong. And unfortunately, that happens a lot. So you want to know that you feel safe. And especially if you're just beginning dating, you want to feel safe and good with that man when you're with him and when you're not with him. You know, if you're not feeling good when you're not in his presence, that's a really bad sign.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. And I think one of the reasons why this topic is so important, too, is that if we don't ever bring our needs or our desires or express our concerns about what might be going on in a relationship to the surface, then what tends to happen, and I know this is why a lot of relationships fail and marriages fall apart, is that resentment builds up, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then suddenly it might come out in some really strange way as a huge overreaction to some minor thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or seemingly minor thing, when in fact it's all of these things that have, you know, been building, building, building.
Yeah, and all that contempt and sarcasm and passive-aggressive conversations that you have that are really just you're hiding behind your words because you don't know how to say what you really feel. And that's so much worse, you know. So knowing how to be clear, I've always admired people who can really just get to the heart of the matter and say what they mean. I always want to be around my friends who say that, you know, who are truthful and honest. I'd rather hear something that stings a little in the moment than to have you carry that with you and never tell me.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Now, I think you've referred to this a little bit, spoken a little bit to this earlier on, but I'm wondering, do you think it's ever a bad idea to express your needs in a relationship? So we've talked about maybe it's not the thing to do when perhaps you might need a little time and space to really get in touch with what's really going on, or perhaps if it's a trigger for something that is triggered by everyone in your life, that comes back to what you said. Perhaps that's your issue that needs to be resolved. But are there any other times do you consider it to be not the best idea to bring up or communicate that your feelings are hurt?
Absolutely. And here's where I used to get it wrong all the time. So when somebody dumps you, and not always, but say somebody just disappears, let's talk about early in a relationship. And I recently wrote about this happened to me. I met a guy. He was a player. I didn't realize it until after we were on our first real date. And I said no to sex on the first date, and he slowly just disappeared. In the old days, I would have called him, texted him, emailed him, let him know that he hurt my feelings. How dare he disappear after he, you know, told me all these nice things. And he couldn't hear any of it. He wouldn't hear any of it. I would have looked like a fool. And I don't need to do that. That's a waste of my energy. So
no.
In a case like that where someone has dismissed you and is not worthy of your time, you walk away and you just move on, you know, and you learn from it and, you know, you recognize signs even earlier on. And that's really, you know, I've seen women who come back after somebody dumps them, that woman with the three-year relationship, she said things that she regrets now because she was very reactive in the moment. She was hurt. He didn't want to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
He was so dismissive. He had already written her off. So a person like that doesn't want to hear that you feel hurt. They're not nice. They're not nice people. So a person who can't hear you, don't talk to them. You know, spend your time talking to people who are worthy of your time.
Yeah, I think that's such an interesting concept because it's almost like, well, for any relationship to really work, both people have to want to understand, communicate, and want to put effort into the relationship. And if someone has already exited, I do think your point is really valid that it could be a huge waste of your time, energy, and emotion. And we have to really consider our time, energy, and emotions because that, and you know, what we want to invest in, because investing in something or someone, like you said, that doesn't have the capacity, desire, or ability to hear you is going to be an exercise in frustration and could perhaps just exacerbate the emotion and the frustration going on inside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, again, if you value yourself, you know who to walk away from and who to spend more time with. You know who to, you know, have those conversations with and who to not waste your breath on. And you quickly learn that you can, you know, that there's somebody better out there, that the person who turns you down and walks away from you when you haven't done anything to deserve that is not worthy of your time. So, yeah, you got to be selective and don't let your heart be stepped on by people like that.
Yeah, because you and your life and your energy and your love are valuable, and if you place a high value on that, you're likely to be able to find and engage with those who also will respect that. And you also can have healthier, happier relationships, right? Instead of this exercise in frustration and trying to chase after or engage with people that don't have that desire or capacity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very well said. I agree.
Yeah. This is definitely a challenging piece for so many of us. And I think one of the things that probably attracts me to working in this area and likely you as well, Sandy, is that relationships, there's always so much more to learn. There are always additional levels of understanding that we can gain in order to improve our human relationships. And yet it seems like it should be simpler sometimes than it is, but I know in my own life and in the lives of women that I work with, sometimes it can be really challenging to know how to communicate your needs to a man or to let him know when your feelings are hurt. And I'm wondering if you can share with us some steps or some ideas to make that more graceful, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. I would love to. I just want to say one thing before I do share that, is that in a good relationship, it's not a lot of hard work. It's, you know, there is a flow to a good relationship. And I think there's a misunderstanding that relationships are hard. They're just so much work, and it's not worth it. It's just not worth it.
Mm.
And you can feel the difference when you're with somebody who you really connect with, who really gets you. You don't have to work so hard to be understood, to be seen, to be, you know, to have fun together. It flows. And anything is going to require some effort because it's two separate people coming together. But it's not hard work. It's pleasurable. There's so many gifts in it. So just want to put that out there before I break it down.
Yeah, before you move on, I think that's a really key distinction. So any good relationship will require some energy and some effort to keep the relationship live and vibrant. But it's not that struggle type of dynamic where you're struggling to be acknowledged or noticed or heard when the relationship is healthy. That's that flow you're speaking about. And I think that's a really, really important distinction. So I'm so glad you brought that up.
Yeah, and think about friendships. You know, how many of your really good friendships are hard work? You know, every once in a while something's going to come up. Maybe she's spending time on her cell phone while you're together and you don't want her to, but you could talk about it. And the rest of the time you're laughing together, you're having fun, you get each other. You can pick up a conversation after not seeing her for 5 years because you have such a strong connection. And so that's really what you're looking for in a man. So let's talk about how to communicate your needs when feelings are hurt. So,
oh, yes, please.
So this is based on the work of Susan Scott. She wrote a book called Fierce Conversations. And the book, it really changed my life. She works mostly in business, but these are really amazing tools for interpersonal relationships. And some of the things I've already talked about are also steps in how to communicate, but this is a formula, and I'm just going to go through it. So you begin your conversation with your opening statement, but before you even do that, you have to check in. You have to check in with your man and see if he's open to hearing you. So one thing to really understand about men, there are a couple of differences between men and women, and I'm speaking generally, so of course there are exceptions to everything that I'm going to say. But men are more often single-task-oriented, and we're very multitask-oriented. So if a man is in a task, in the middle of a task, like watching a football game, talking on the phone, reading the paper, he can't hear a word you say.
Right.
So you have to check in. And can you let me know when is a good time to talk? And get his buy-in, because you're already saying, I value you enough to you know, to hear from you when is good for you. So that's important. Then you're going to take the conflict and name the issue. So like I said before, you want something clean. What's the problem that you want solved? So you have to know what the issues are and identify them. And you want to practice that opening statement so that you practice it for 60 seconds. Make sure that you can say it without having a trigger. So you want to get all the emotions out, you know. So we'll use I'll use another example about a man who, this actually I heard from a coach, her husband used to come every morning out of the shower and stand in front of the closet, find the clothes he wanted to wear, and drop the wet towel that he had around him on the floor, step over it, get dressed, and leave the wet towel on the floor in front of the closet.
Oh.
It drove her insane. What she didn't realize is that he was in his single task oriented way of thinking. So he would come out, he wouldn't even see the towel anymore because he was already onto the task of dressing.
Right.
And so, but she didn't know that. And she actually was talking about this at a conference, and he was in the audience, and he goes, I do that? So you want to name the issue. So let's say, honey, every morning you drop a wet towel on the floor. That's it. And so you give that specific example of the behavior, and then you say what your emotions are around it. So when you drop the towel, I feel frustrated. and why do I feel frustrated? So you feel frustrated because you like order. So, you know, I like to have order in the house, or I like to have your cooperation in getting the house in order. Whatever it is, whatever is missing for you, that's the problem, right? So then you identify your contribution, if there's any. So you can take responsibility for maybe not bringing it to his attention sooner, or I don't know. You know, this is not an example where maybe you did contribute, but sometimes it is. Sometimes you have contributed to the problem too. So you want to own that. And then you want to indicate your wish to resolve the issue. So you tell him, and then you invite him to respond. So then you listen. Men need you to listen. Women talk too much. And we need to just listen, not just listen, stay quiet and listen, let him finish. And then give him back, you want to dig a little deeper if there's anything you don't really feel like he, maybe you didn't understand. Make sure he hears you, that you really got what he's saying. And then you go to resolution. You talk about what you both learned, and you make a new agreement. And the thing that's important, so there are important things to, and I've had this with my son too, where he promised me something he was going to do for me in the house, and he didn't do it, and he's a guy. So I treat him the same way I would treat someone I'm dating or married
to.
You know, and he says, I'm really sorry. And you know what, I'm sorry is great, but it doesn't give me an idea as to what you're going to do next time. So I appreciate that you're sorry. And what will you do next time differently? And so it's really coming up with a plan for the next time. The other thing is to appreciate, and I just said the word appreciation, but you want to appreciate someone before and after you have a conflict kind of discussion. I've heard it described as an appreciation sandwich. It's, you know, when you make a request of someone, you first appreciate them, and then you appreciate them after. It starts and finishes with sweetness instead of bitterness. You don't want to interrupt. You don't want to start formulating your own responses when he's talking, you know, because then you're not really listening. You don't want to respond too quickly before you've really thought things out. You don't want to be smarter, more competent, more impressive, more charming. You don't want to be sarcastic. You want to just be present. Don't jump in with advice. You know, you want to just try to get clarification. Silence is important, but don't change the topic. You know, you want to just stay focused. And usually things really get resolved in this way. And it's a good way to really access both of your emotions. One thing women don't realize is that they're so emotionally adept, much more so than men. And generally men have not been rewarded for talking about feelings, and we have.
Right.
So I'm sure that you know, do this kind of work with your clients too. This is such a key to what makes us so wonderful and what makes us have something that we can contribute to men that they don't have and that they're seeking. And so when you allow a man to access his emotions, you're giving him such a gift. And, you know,
say
I have
that again. When you allow
him to access his emotions, you're giving him a gift.
A gift.
And, yeah, it's a gift, and it's the difference between, you know, being the fun girl to hang out with and being the woman who helps him raise up to be his better self and really be seen and heard. And that is so invaluable. And then you become that woman he can't be without.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that model. There's so many things about it. We could talk about it for hours. A couple of just really quick things that really stood out for me as you were sharing this. The first thing is, you know, the sharing of the story of the man who's dropping his towel every day.
Mm-hmm.
comes back to what we talked about earlier of not automatically going to the place of assuming bad motives on his part. Like you said, he was just already on to the next thing in his mind, and men can be very singularly focused, where we tend to be a little bit more able to multitask and those kinds of things, right, as women. And then also I loved how you brought up the fact that the timing really has to be clear. You have to be sure that it's a good time for the man to be able to hear you, because if he's watching his football game and you're trying to have a serious conversation, it's not going to work. And then also, again, this invitation of inviting someone to be on their play a better, bigger game, be their higher self, whatever you might want to call that. And then making it about the issue and not an attack on the person. Because we were talking, in the example you gave so beautifully, we're talking about a specific issue, and the way that model played out, it was not about attacking this person as a bad person or assigning bad motives to him. It was just talking about a specific issue. So there's so many things we could talk about in that model, but those were a few things that stood out as you shared that.
Good reflection, and I like the way you summed it up. I want to say something else too, and as you were talking, it just reminded me. So if you want to have a guy take out the garbage and you're always nagging him, and you know, this is such a common thing with couples, he's not going to be motivated because it's a task you want him to do. He will be motivated if you tell him why it's important to you. So if you say, when you take out the garbage, it just gives me that feeling that you're, you know, supporting me, and I feel so good being supported. It's such an important thing to me, and I want to thank you so much for doing that. He wants to make you happy. A good guy wants to make you happy, and he's always looking for ways to make women happy. And unfortunately, when women don't give men the operating manual, when they don't let him know how he can make you happy, then he feels emasculated or he feels dejected and he gives up after a while. So make it easier for him, you know, let him know. I've actually talked to men about this. You know, would you respond better if a woman told you that it would make her really happy and have her feel supported if you took out the garbage? And they go, yeah, that's a no-brainer. It's like, yeah, duh. We're pretty simple. Just give us that manual. We'll figure it out. We'll make you happy.
Well, it's a reward. Instead of shaming him for not taking out the garbage and being upset with him and attaching these bad motives that he doesn't care, we're rewarding him by letting him know that we appreciate him and acknowledging his gifts, even if that gift is taking out the trash. It's a little gift. And certainly that, I think, is going to be far more effective. So I think that's really essential what you brought up there.
Thank you.
Yeah, so we've talked a little bit about this, and I know we're running out of time. It feels like I could talk to you all day.
I know.
you have so many wonderful things to share. But I just wonder if you can briefly tell us a little bit about how men process information and if it's different from the way women process information and what to say or do so a man truly hears you. And I think you just said one of those things, which is instead of shaming him, appreciate him and acknowledge him and help him to understand why something is important to you. Is there anything you'd like to add to that?
So I think, you know, one of the biggest issues is that men and women think that we're both the same. And as Alison Armstrong, one of my favorites, experts in relationships and understanding men, says, women are not hairy men.
Right.
You know, and so we are really different. And that's what creates attraction, is that we are different. So women also often think they have to prove themselves to men, and they take away men's desire to do things for you, to open the door, to share advice. So, you know, they like to problem solve. They like to provide. They like to protect you. They have a sense of purpose. And if you show up with all those things and you're dominating him all the time, it's going to be hard for him to express himself and really feel manly. So you want to honor his manhood. It's not by suppressing yourself, but by honoring him and not bringing that as your first way of showing up. So I would add that, you know, and really give a man time to respond. Sometimes they take a little bit longer than we do, you know, and so we tend to want to step in and fill the silence. So be comfortable with silence. I think that's a really, really important piece. And we talked about the single process, single task oriented. We talked about catching him when he can attend to conversation. And, you know, and if he says this is not a good time, ask him when is a good time. Don't just drop it, you know. So don't be afraid to really get some accountability. And it's the same thing with him when he promises something different. So what will you do, and when will you do it? You know, I just like to know that. That makes me feel better to know, you know, so I can, I don't want to nag you. Simple.
Yeah, in fact, I just want to interject just one, like, 30-second thing here that you made me think of as you were speaking here. This summer, we were having some trouble with our sprinklers in our yard, and I was asking my husband if he would take a look at them and fix them, and it seemed like nothing was happening. And I started to feel like I was starting to feel tempted to go into the nagging mode. And then I talked to him a little bit more about it and asked him a little bit about what was going on. And what I found out, this was the cutest thing, Sandy, is he was actually watching YouTube videos trying to figure out how to fix the sprinklers.
Aww.
And he needed a little time to kind of figure out what he was doing. So I was making this assumption that he kind of already knew what to do, when in fact, instead of delaying, he was just trying to get all of his ducks in a row and figure it out.
I love that. That's so sweet.
Yeah, it is sweet. So one last question, and then I know you have a yummy free gift for the listeners on the call that I want to have you tell us about, and then also a special offer just for the participants on the summit.
Mm-hmm.
But just one last quick question. How can we as women listen better to a man? And why is that so essential? So we've been talking about how we can talk so men will listen and will be able to hear us. And now we're basically saying, how can we listen better to men? And why is that so important?
Well, I think that men are not used to feeling heard, just as we are not feeling heard by most people. So when you really listen, he's going to talk more. He's going to share more. He's going to connect from his heart more. And that's really the key to a healthy relationship, is when you both can be vulnerable, you both can connect deeply, and you've created that safe space to really be able to do that. And otherwise, you know, you're not having an honest relationship. You're having a careful relationship.
Yeah. And I think it's like you said earlier in the interview, this is something, if you can learn how to communicate in this way and listen in this way, this is something that can make you stand out as that cherished woman for a man, right?
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah. So, Sandy, I'm really excited about this, and I thank you so much for your generosity. I know you have a wonderful free gift for our listeners, and I believe that's a recording of identifying red flags in relationships. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Can you tell us just a little bit about that?
Sure. So one of the biggest mistakes is when people are dating, they ignore the toxic red flags. And when you really get skilled at this, you can identify them from the first conversation often. You can even pick up red flags in somebody's online dating profile. And so I am really passionate about helping women really figure that out early on so that they don't get their heart broken, because you go in with your eyes wide open. And, you know, you're not overreacting and picking on every little thing, but you know what a true red flag is. That's the key.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a 1-hour call. It's a Q&A call, so it's a 15-minute lecture by me on how to identify the red flags, and then my inner circle group, which is my group coaching group of women who I absolutely adore, they ask me questions and I answer them, and it's so valuable to hear the stories of other women and the things that they're struggling with. So I've made that call available to the group, to anybody who wants to sign up for it on the TeleSummit.
Yes, I would love to invite you all to take the opportunity to take Sandy up on this generous free gift. I always say a big part of being with the right guy is not being with the wrong guy. And you can save yourself a lot of heartache and wasted time and energy if you can be clear about some of these early signals. So I would really invite you and encourage you to take advantage of this and listen to Sandy's wonderful call. And that can be accessed for each of you on a special page, which is readyfortherightguy.com/Sandy, S-A-N-D-Y. And then I also believe, Sandy, that you have created a special offer specifically for the participants of the summit. Could you tell us about that as well?
Sure. Thank you for that. And I created something special for the summit. It's a Inner Circle Ace to Date special promo, so I'll explain what that means. Ace to Date is a program that I created with Bobby Palmer, who's also on the TeleSummit. We created this program together to help women over 40 get out of first date hell and into the relationship of their dreams. And this is 3 hour and a half telephone recordings. I'm losing my words. We did a telecourse. Yeah, that's the word I'm looking for. Telecourse recordings, and so it's tons of content on how to show up on a first date, how to deal with the tough conversations and the tough questions that men ask, like, you know, why have you never gotten married, or you know, who caused your divorce. You know, the questions you do not want to answer, but
yeah,
you've got to deal with them in some way. So it's, you know, it's how to deal with baggage. It's how to show up as your best self, and how to really show up as that high value woman that I've been talking a lot about today, because it is just so important that your first impression matters, and you come in with the right attitude and have much more success in your dating process, and it is a journey, and so it's important to enjoy the journey, and that's what this program was created for. So I'm offering that at half price, plus a one-month special in my Inner Circle group coaching that I just referenced about the red flag call. This group is so fantastic. We have 2 monthly Q&A calls every month, and ongoing support from me, and there's a group forum where they have access to me all the time, you know, throughout the day with questions about dating and how to navigate through online dating, and is this a red flag, and how do I communicate with this guy, and all kinds of things that come up, and it's, you know, it's a very affordable way to have coaching without having to go into private coaching. So both of those together with the half price Ace to Date and 1 month of Inner Circle is $97.
Oh, that's wonderful, Sandy. Thank you so much. And you can also access the link to register for this wonderful program at the same link I just shared with you, Sandy's page for the summit, which is readyfortherightguy.com/Sandy. So you can get both the free gift that she spoke about and access to this special offer specific to the summit registrants, both on that page. Now, before we wrap up, I just want to give you one opportunity to give us kind of some parting wisdom, Sandy, on just one thing that you would really like to share with the participants before we close out today.
Well, I think to just leave some parting words. Don't make assumptions. Check things out. don't be afraid to have these conversations, and it's a muscle. Having these conversations doesn't start out easy. Practice with everybody that you know. Use these same skills with your plumber, with your your parents, your children, anybody in your life. Because seriously, the more you practice, the better you get at it. I was terrible at it when I started. And I didn't even know how to find the words to express emotions. And it gets easier, and people thank you. They really do. Even if it's if you're saying goodbye, if you're breaking up with somebody and you're doing it in an empowered way, a man will say thank you. And yeah. I've actually been thanked by men who've said, that was the sweetest breakup ever. I'll always love you. Because I didn't say it in a nasty way. I said it in a kind way. And I appreciated him. It's the same skills.
Yeah, this ability to communicate can literally transform our relationships and our lives. And I want to thank you, Sandy, for the wonderful conversation today and for being so generous with your wisdom and for the free gift and special offer. And I also want to thank each of you as our participants for being with us and invite you to implement the ideas that resonate with you from each of the summit interviews. Over the next 2 weeks of the summit, you'll be hearing from over 25 love and relationship experts, and you'll have access to listen to the interviews, and then the replays will be available for each interview for 48 hours. And I know you'll be listening and catching as many as you can. However, I also know that life is busy, and you may not be able to catch all of the interviews that you'd like to hear. So I also want to invite you to upgrade to the Ready for the Right Guy Global Telesummit VIP package, which includes the MP3 recordings of all of the interviews, interview highlight sheets, and some special summit bonuses. And you can check all of that out, and the package is available at readyfortherightguy.com/ready. And this way you'll be able to listen at your own convenience and have these resources to support you moving forward. It's really like having like a team of experts in your back pocket. So check that out at readyfortherightguy.com/ready. During the summit, you'll get special event pricing for the upgrade package and save over $100 off the post-summit pricing. So thank you so much for being here with us today. I want to thank our special guest, Sandy, once again, and look forward to having you with us for more of the Ready for the Right Guy interview summit. And we're both sending you lots of love, many blessings, and wishing you happiness as you get ready for your right guy. Bye-bye for now.
Bye.